Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
It's wonderful to be here this morning. It's always good to see those who are here during the school holidays. The faithful ones who still get up even when it's cold. And I don't know how your morning was, but we got the car key locked into the car this morning. And I had too many children with me to only come here with one lift. So we had to organize two lifts. And then a couple of other things went wrong, but it's so good to be here. With all the changes that took place lately and Pastor Fred stepping down as the leader and Pastor Heinrich Tait is becoming our new leader, there was a few logistical changes as well. And one of those changes was that Anton and myself and our children obviously moved to the Somerset West Church. So we still live in Stellenbosch, but we are no longer, our local church is no longer Stellenbosch. So it's wonderful to be here. Not that we were here that often, because we also lead a region, so we often had to go and visit or preach at other churches. But we do miss the Stellenbosch Church, and it's good to be back here. And I was just thinking this morning, yesterday we had a person in our home. We don't know him well. We know him, but not that well. And he actually just came to deliver something, and we invited him to sit down a bit, which he then did. And we started chatting just about all kinds of things. And then we just asked him, where did you grow up and how many siblings do you have, and so on. So he said, now he has a sister, but she had a very, her life really didn't turn out that well. And she had lots of problems, consequences of wrong actions. He just told us this just sort of randomly. And he said, but the strangest thing happened. She turned to religion, and then she came right. And now everything in her life is just right. I said to him, what kind of religion did she turn to? He said, no, the Christian religion. She turned to the Christian religion. And we just had this opportunity to explain the gospel to him. And it was funny when Tobias just spoke about the language where you were. I can't remember what it was. Yes, that one. So one of the stories that Anton told this man was, we just shared many things with him. But one of the things was that about 20 years ago, they were on a mission team. And Anton actually ministered to a man in fluent Xhosa, and he cannot speak Xhosa at all. So these things actually do happen. And we shared everything with him, and he looked at us for a long time, and he just looked at us, and then he said, well, it's time to go. Thank you very much. I think he's trying to figure, he didn't really summarize us as people who lie. So he's trying to figure out, are we actually speaking the truth, and how can this be? And we got him thinking at least. So this morning when we were worshiping, I was just so grateful that all of us could turn to religion to just have life and life in abundance, which is not religion. It is just a relationship that we can have with the Lord. So I have a word that I'm bringing this morning. And I just want to start out by saying that the people who will primarily feel this word is applicable to will be the parents here. Who of you are parents? Okay, many of us. But I want to ask you to bear with me. And I know some of you are parents, your children are already out of the house. But I want to ask you to bear with me, because what I am sharing this morning is really not just for the parents. It is a culture that we would want to have in Shofar and just in the body of Christ. And the reason why I am sharing on this topic is because we were in the Somerset West Church last week, since we are members of that church now. And Pastor Heinrich Titus was preaching, and the sermon is on the Shofar TV, so you can go and find it there. And he was just speaking about the fact that as a generation, we should carry over to the next generation who God is and what God does and what the purposes of God is are. And I thought about that a lot, and it just made so much sense to me. And the title of the sermon this morning is Arrows to be Launched. And I was just thinking back over the past approximately 25 years. We've been a part of Shofar since around about 94, 95. And some of us that are sitting here have also been around for that long. And I just remember how Pastor Fred and Lucille May, who are no longer leading this church, but they founded this church, and I just remember how they equipped us and how they taught us and the example that they gave us with their lives, and how we actually became arrows that was launched out all over South Africa and now even in other countries as well for God's kingdom to be extended. And it's not, we are Shofar, but it's not just Shofar, it is the body of Christ, it is the kingdom of God. And just that we were equipped and we were actually sharpened to go out and to hit the target that we have been prepared for. And I want to share about that this morning. And even before I share, I just want to say that it is a good thing for us to understand that God calls us to influence other people. That is why I sometimes I feel like a plaat wat vasgehak het, something that just got stuck, and I say the same thing over and over again. But we need to open our hearts and open our homes, and I've had some whole sermons on this already, and perhaps you heard it, where I was just sharing that we need to be open to know that God is calling us to influence other people and to influence the next generation towards the purposes of God. And that will mean often that people will see how we live our lives. And it is not a perfect life that they will see, but it is a life unto God. You know, the scripture says the eyes of the Lord is going to and fro, and he's not looking for people who are perfect. He's looking for people who are willing to go all the way with him, who are willing to endure, who are willing to follow him. And we should be comfortable with the fact that in our imperfection, which we all are, I don't think anyone of you, if there's anybody here that is perfect, then it's such a privilege to have you here this morning. In that, we should understand that God wants to use us. And the principles that I want to share this morning can be applied in all kinds of different situations. So let's start with a scripture. Okay, Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. This is one of my favorite scriptures. We have five children, and sometimes people say, how can you manage so many children? But I have two friends who have seven children each, and then I read about people who have 12 children, and in the end, I think five perhaps are not that many children. But our quiver can feel quite full sometimes. The experience is that it's very full. And I have just realized that it is extremely important for us as a family and for me as a mother, if the sacrifices that I make, and I'm sure that is true for every mother here, and I'm sure it is true for every person who is fully surrendered to God, because then it is sacrificial living. If your life is not sacrificial, then you are not fully surrendered to God. Forgive me for stating that, but that is the truth. And all these sacrifices that we are making, surely we want it to be worth it. Is that right? We want it to be worth it. I know just being sleep deprived because of raising children, and some people are sleep deprived because of other reasons, at least it must be worth it. Going through whatever we are going through, that is why the Lord must build the house. Because whatever God builds will stand. Whatever we build will crumble. I have built some things in my life and it crumbled. But whatever is still standing is because God builds the house. This is why Shofar is still standing after 25 years. Because God is building this house. And that is why Pastor Fred and Lucille May can know today that when they sit at the gate, they can know that the children, the spiritual children that they raised up, were shot out like arrows, and they are hitting target, and the kingdom of God is being extended. And that is a wonderful thing. I think it's a wonderful thing to have natural or spiritual children and to just see how they excel in life, how they move into what God has called them for. I look at Albert and Tani Nancy that are sitting here, and I often refer to them because they are some of our best friends. And I know that they've been through many things in their life, being in the full-time ministry as well. And now I look at their three sons, especially Pastor Heinrich Titus, who is the new leader of Shofar. And I'm thinking, you did well. You raised a leader. You sharpened an arrow, and it is hitting target. And this is what God is calling us to. And this is why we don't live for ourselves. And we should ask God, who do you want us to invite in? Anton and I have our five natural children, but then we also have spiritual offspring. And we still have a lot of influence in their lives. And then, you know, they get married, and then there are the marital challenges, and then they have children. And we can still influence them. Because God has called us to that. And because one day we want to die having served the next generation well. So the Word of God says, unless God builds the house, we labor in vain. I read this thing that Steve Jobs wrote. Who of you read it? just before he died. And it was the most amazing thing. He said, I had all the success in the world. He's the Apple guy, for those of you who don't know. Not for those people like me who are completely ignorant when it comes to technology. Apple is a brand. It's a technology brand. And he says, I had all the success. I had all the wealth. I had everything. I had everything that a man could wish for. Now I'm dying of cancer, and there's nothing that I can do. And now, after having lived for so long and experiencing so much, I can honestly say wealth and success does not bring fulfillment. And you cannot control your life. You are not in control of your life. Only God is. And I want to die one day, and if I could write something just before I die, hopefully I can say, the Lord did build this house, and it will stand in eternity, and it was not in vain. I read through Ecclesiastes recently. Who of you enjoy the book of Ecclesiastes? Okay. I was a bit concerned because I read it and I really understood. I really related. I said to Anton, I really understand. And Anton said, well, it's a depressing book and I'm sad and sorry that you understand it. I said, well, I do. And then I did some more extra reading on Ecclesiastes, and it says there, what King Solomon is going through often happens to people in their 40s. It is called a midlife crisis. Even though he was older when he wrote that. You know, around about 40, and for some people perhaps later, and hopefully not earlier than that, we stop and we say, what was all this for? Vanity upon vanity, it's all just wind that comes and it goes, and is all of this worth it? And it's a terrible downward spiral that I will not recommend, but I've definitely been there. Is all of this worth it? Where are we going? Where have we been? Why do I still have the same issue 20 years later? But at least we can say, up until now, everything and all of it was unto God. And God is amazing in how he works with us, because often when I really become discouraged and I really think, man, is all of this worth it? Then a person will come to me as if sent by God, and they will tell me, there and there you said this and that, or you were there and you influenced me with your words, because God spoke through you and my life changed. And then I think, well, it's still okay. It is still okay. Because this is what we are called to. So let me read the next scripture. The truth is that my printer at home is not working. And I hate preaching with a laptop, and this is why I have to read my scriptures here. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 to 11. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Do your best and God will do the rest. You know, we as parents have a great challenge. And I believe we who open our hearts and our homes to people, to influence them, to disciple them, to teach them, we may also feel that we have a great challenge. And often I question myself, am I doing well enough? And I did some parenting courses. How many of the parents here did parenting courses? Okay, many of us. I remember walking away from the one course, which is an excellent course, the Evergreen Parenting course. I believe some of us here did it. And it teaches us how to analyze our children's personalities and how to teach them accordingly, even though there are basic principles. Every personality kind has to be treated almost in a certain way. And after all of that, I went back home and I said, God, five personalities, and my husband, and my own personality, which is a massive challenge for me, and two dogs and six hamsters. God, this is, and two fishes. This is just, I don't think I can do this. This is just too much for me. This is just overwhelming. I don't know. And I did some other courses, and there's so much to say about parenting and how to feed, what we should feed our children and what not, and eventually having all this knowledge, which is serving us well, it does, I know, and often we really rely on it. But after all of that, I want to say it is by the grace of God and the grace of God alone. And this is the first thing to understand and to realize: we need the grace of God. And we should call to God and say, please, Jesus, teach me, give me wisdom, show me, because you know that I don't know. I have done all these parenting courses, but still I have six-year-old Caleb who drives me to tears. I don't know how to raise this little boy. He's making life incredibly difficult from time to time, even though he is such a joy. He is such a massive challenge. One little boy. By the grace of God. And then God says, my grace is sufficient for you. And I know from experience, all I really have left at the end of the day is the grace of God to carry us through and to carry me through. And even when I doubt the grace of God, even when I don't feel it, I call upon the Lord, and He does save every single time. And God is just saying, as long as you remain dependent on me, as long as you trust me completely, as long as you trust me fully and rely on me completely, I will give you everything that you need to raise your biological children, to raise that adopted child, to foster that child, and to know how to influence those people who God wants to send into your life. And I have had some older people in my life who influenced me greatly, who taught me many things. And I was open to receive from them. And I also saw their many mistakes. I saw the flaws in their marriages. I see it. I saw it. It's there. But yet, these are the people who God used, and He used them powerfully. And sometimes, and we will get to that scripture later about teaching our children in the way that they should go. But sometimes we do our very best, and our children, spiritual or biological, will go and choose and make a wrong choice and take a wrong road. And we will pray our knees through. But eventually, they will come back to the Lord. And we cannot always control these things, but we should just remain fully trusting in the Lord and in His goodness and in the fact that He has all knowledge. Let's go to the next scripture. It is Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
And the question this morning is, how do we train up a child? How do we train people in the way that they should go? And I want to again refer you to that sermon of Pastor Heinrich Titus on the Shofar online TV, where he shares a lot of valuable information. And just the desire for us as a church and as this part of the body of Christ to have a culture where we teach people and where we raise up people so that when we die, there is an entire generation who will take further the work that we have done. Because this is God's heart. This is God's desire that we will be concerned for the next generation. Let's read the next scripture. How do we sharpen the arrows? We can go to the next scripture. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18 to 21. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. This is God teaching us and teaching his people Israel and teaching all of us right now how we should teach our children. And the answer is all the time, at every opportunity that arises. I saw something recently. We just came back from Europe. We spent some time there, and I just became a bit interested in the history of England, and particularly in the history of Churchill. Just find it fascinating. And then I also read up a bit about the royals. And there was an interview with Lady Diana before she died, and she said something. She said, "My parents never told me that they loved me." And this is something that I have heard quite often. And I'm sure some of you are sitting here and you say, "I'm sure my parents must have loved me, but they never told me so." And this leaves a vacuum. Do you agree with me? This leaves a vacuum. And in the same way, we can live for God, which I trust most of us are doing. And we can surrender our lives and we can live godly lives. But if we never share it with our children, they will never have the full extent of it. Because something that is between me and God is not necessarily something that they will understand unless I draw them in. Like Moses and Aaron. He had to draw him in. He had to draw him in and teach him about the ways of God. And the scripture says we must teach our children when we come in and when we go out, when I drive to school and when I drive to the gym and when I walk the dog and when I cook the food in the kitchen and when I take my son with me to do whatever, go fishing. Whatever it is, I must share, I must tell. My children should know, how did I become born again? When did I become born again? How did my life change? How did mommy and daddy meet? Where was God in all of that? How did God change your life? Why are you doing what you are doing? How does God speak? We need to share with them. We need to do it deliberately. We need to make sure that we are doing it. Because there are so many things that children and young people do not understand and will not tell us. They will just try to figure it out for themselves. And they might never ask. And the scripture teaches us, teach them all the time and tell them the stories. They need to hear those stories. Pastor Richard Wade did a sermon here. I think it was called Temple Time. I'm not exactly sure. And he shared how we should share with our children our stories, our testimonies. They need to hear it. They love stories and it shapes them. It gives them an identity and it brings the understanding of who God is and what He does in our lives. I remember there was a time when something significant happened in the family and we didn't tell our children because we were too busy. What happened was one of our family members fell pregnant and it was the first baby and it was a big deal. And because of her testimony before all of this, it was really a big deal. And we were so excited, but we never told them. And we went to visit this family and everybody was talking about this pregnancy. And our children couldn't believe that we did not tell them. And I looked at my husband and I said, we are so busy. We are so busy. We don't realize that we carry on with our lives and we leave them behind. We need to take them with us into the presence of God. Can I say that again? We need to take them with us into the presence of God. And if there's somebody that you opened your house to, and that eats with you, and that draws from you, you need to take them with you into the presence of God. So we worship together as a family, and sometimes we have people sleeping over or staying with us for a while, and we all worship together, and we sing. None of us can play any kind of instrument, so we sing with the laptop. And you know, the children they fidget here and they get up and they're not always with us. And it's a bit irritating to try and do deep, meaningful worship with a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old. But guess what? We still do it because we teach them. We teach them how to do it. And when we pray, we pray over those children, not little prayers for little children. We pray serious prayers. We put our hands on them and we say, God, in the name of Jesus, will you give them a hunger for you? Will you give them a desire for you? Will you give them wisdom? They don't even understand what we are praying, but they understand that we are praying. And they want us to, because it makes them feel safe. It gives them the sure knowledge that we trust in something, someone bigger than us. And should something happen to me or my husband, our children will know there is a God. And He is bigger than us. And He will look after us. And He will provide for us. And we can know Him. And we can draw near to Him. And we fail. I am very aware of the fact. We fail. I'm sure you fail often. It's not about how many times you fall. It's about how quickly you can get up again and get on with it. So, this morning I screamed at the children because everything was chaos. I apologize. I ask for forgiveness and we carry on. Because we need to teach them and we need to have humility. Let's read the next scripture. Hebrews 4 verse 12. The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts all the way through to where soul and spirit meet, to where joints and marrow come together. It judges the desires and thoughts of the heart. The word of God is alive and active. I remember when I became born again in 1995, and I became filled with the Spirit of God, and I started reading the Word of God, and I experienced how it came alive. What used to be just a book became something that it just became alive, and I couldn't get enough of it. Is there anybody else who had similar experience? And still, we read the Word of God, and when the Holy Spirit comes and he explains it to us, and he makes it clear to us, and he brings understanding, it changes our lives. And if we live by that word, and we do, by the way, need the Holy Spirit, because the Word of God is quite a contradictory book. Have you noticed? It contradicts itself. We need to understand context. But there is just an element of the Holy Spirit coming and just making it very clear to us. And we need to teach our children the Word of God. We need to teach those who we are influencing. We do not necessarily have to take the Bible out and start reading, but we need to know the Word of God so that we can impart it to them. When our children come home, often with many kinds of stories from school, and they say, this one did that, and do you know, that child, they are so rich, and the parents did that, and they have all these kinds of stories. and sometimes it's just huisgenoot, you gossip kind of stories. Often, it's just stories going around in the school, and they have a lot to say about President Jacob Zuma. They have lots of things to say about him. The children, you won't believe. And we always bring them back to the Word of God. We always anchor them again in the Word of God. We had some of our spiritual children visiting us recently, and they've been married for a while, not that long, and they started with small talk, but very quickly they just spat it out, and they basically said, this is not working. We do not know how to do marriage. This is too hard. And what did we do? We anchored them once again in the Word of God. We said to the young lady, you need to speak to your husband with respect. You need to respect him. We said to the young husband, you need to love your wife and dwell with understanding. You are too harsh. We needed to ground them again in the Word of God because it works. The Word of God says, forgive. It works to forgive. If you cannot forgive, you are bitter. If you are bitter, you are dying slowly but surely on the inside. That is why you need to forgive. So we teach our children, listen, you are very angry now, but you need to forgive. The Word of God teaches us all kinds of things, and it works in life. And yes, it's a process to figure out from time to time how it works, but this is the journey. And we need to take them with us on our journey, and we need to teach them about the journey that we already took up until this point. And we need to be vocal and verbal about it. Otherwise, how will they know? In the same breath, I want to say, whatever we do, they will do. Whatever we do right, they will do right, and whatever we do wrong, they will do wrong. I have seen in my marriage, I would always, in the early years especially, I would always have an older lady that's been married for a longer time just to speak to and to pray with me and to influence me. And I once had an experience where I saw where in between all the good that was imparted to me, the bad was imparted to me as well. And I made some mistakes in my marriage that those who influenced me made. But God covered that because His grace is enough. And when it comes to our children and those who, they look at us, they follow our example. And is it an example worthy of following? The Apostle Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Can you say that? Can I say that? Can you look at someone? Can you look someone in the eye and say, imitate me as I imitate Christ? Or is that too much of a responsibility? We must ask God to teach us and to give us the wisdom to live the lives that are worth imitating for those who come after us. I'm almost finished. Let me read the next scripture. John 8, verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is one of my favorite scriptures, because I believe with all of my heart that freedom is a great desire for all of us. And what will set us free? Nothing but the truth. That is why it is important to us to live truthful lives. To not pretend too much. To not lie about our realities. We try to never lie to our children. There comes times when we cannot give them the full extent of the truth for their own sake, but then we give it to them to the extent that we can. But we do not lie to them about nothing. We should know that the truth is one of the foundational pillars of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe the church, to some extent, is tired of people who are holding the microphone and pretending to have perfect lives because it's not truthful. And God is not looking for perfect, as I said. He's just looking for people who can trust Him, people who can be real with Him, and people who can be real about where they are at in our lives. And when we have people who are following us, who are following our example, who we are influencing, then we need to understand that they need the truth, because ultimately it will set them free, especially if they see we allow the Lord Jesus into every single area of our lives. And He sets free in every single area of our lives. And He is faithful to do that. Let me read the last scripture. I'm sorry, I'm a bit over my time. This will be the last scripture that I read. Galatians 6, verse 4 to 5. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. We need to understand that, and I said this, I was preaching here last week in the evening, and I made quite a strong point of this. We need to understand that God says, take courage. I will be there. I will come alongside. But I'm not going to do what you have to do for you. The example that I took last week was that, and it's a bit of a radical example perhaps, was that of bringing a baby into this world. How many women here gave birth in their lives? Any women here who, okay. You have to physically push a baby out into this world. It doesn't just come out, you have to push the baby out. And it usually is mostly in a lot of pain. And you can ask God to do the pushing for you, but he will not. You will have to do it. But he's there to encourage you, to strengthen you, to come alongside you. And then new life is born. God says, I want to birth things through you. But you have to do what you have to do. You have to take responsibility for your life. No one else can do it for you. And when you do, he is faithful and he is just and he is present to be there and to come alongside and to carry you when you can't walk any longer. But there are times when you just simply have to do it. Because this is the journey. But he is enough. His grace is enough. And we teach people, the people, our children, our spiritual children, our natural children, we tell them, you need to take responsibility for your life. Because one day when you stand before Jesus, there will be no one else but you. You alone, your spouse, your mother, your child, your dog, nobody's going to be there, just you. And you must give an account for your life, and you need to take responsibility for your life. And sometimes it is tough, but this is what we need to teach those who are following us. Because God says, this is the last thing that I will say. God says to each one, for each person, I have prepared a set of good works that you should walk in them. We cannot walk in somebody else's good works, but we can nudge them in the right direction. We can send them, we can pray for them, we can influence them to the extent where they are able to walk into those good works that God has called them for. So as I am ending this, my question is, who are those people that your heart and your home is open to, apart even from your own children, that you are influencing in this way? And if there is no one, my encouragement is, ask the Lord Jesus, God, who do you want to send? Who do you want to send for me to leave this legacy? This that you have given me, that I need to impart. Who do you want to send to me that I can impart that? In the name of Jesus. We are going to have communion quickly. I want to ask to please distribute the bread and the wine. If we can please do it as quickly as possible. I'm a bit over my time. I apologize for that. And I'm going to ask, I know you don't always enjoy being taken out of your comfort zone, neither do I. Whenever they say go to someone that you don't know, I think, oh man, who am I going to pick this time that I do not know? But I'm going to ask you, we are not going to have an altar call, but we are going to sit together, and we can do that now already while they are bringing the bread and the wine. And I want you to, if you are a couple, if you are married, to stay together now, but find someone from a different generation and just sit together. And as you enjoy the bread and the wine, which symbolizes that which Jesus did to set us free, as you enjoy that together, why don't you just pray over each other? Whatever your prayer need is this morning. And I want those from an older generation just to pray over those from a younger generation. And just the journey that you already took in your life, just impart some of that to the younger people and pray a blessing over them. So if we can do that, just divide like that. And then when you are finished, you are most welcome to leave. If you need prayer, you are most welcome to come to the front. I will be here. and we will pray for you. But my encouragement is take your prayer needs to those people in your little group as we have communion together.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.